It's time for Talkin' Music on KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am Taya J, joined today by DJ and producer Amel. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Taya.
The tagline on your website reads, "Change the world with music." Will you tell me more about that?
Yes. So when I was a little kid, my sister actually had, I think one of her friends might have gotten it for her, just this little poster with a guitar, and it said something like, "Music changes the world." And so I didn't really consciously think about it, but I think somehow that's stuck with me for all these years. And so when I was building my website maybe a year and a half ago, I wanted to put that on there, and I put that on there. Didn't really think about it much, and then the more I've had it there and kind of let it sink in, it's just meant more and more, and kind of my vision and goals for the future are sort of based around that motto or whatever you want to call it.
That's awesome. To change the world with music, do you think you have to start small, or is your vision sort of go big and see the impacts that that creates?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, there's so many people that want to have an impact on the world and change the world and do all these things and, you know, have these big ideas of, oh, we need to fix this problem and that problem. And I've seen it over and over, and I've heard it from many people. And I from my personal experience, I think this is true, that the best thing anyone can do is, instead of trying to focus on all the problems that are, you know, out there halfway across the world and focusing on things that really aren't in your immediate circle, just what are you best at? If you are the best self you can be, and in my case, do music, you know, create the best music you can, be the best example you can for other people. That's going to affect the people immediately around you, family, friends. You know, if they're affected in a good way, then they're going to be the best selves possible. And it just kind of has this chain reaction effect.
Yeah, the domino effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. I know that you started out playing the violin, and then somewhere along the way you discovered production, and that kind of opened these doors for you. Talk to me a little bit about what production has allowed you to do in terms of your creative process.
You know, it's really funny. I grew up in a very musical household. My dad was, he owned a stereo company, so I was around audio all the time. Like you just said, I played violin, played guitar, so music, you know, I was playing music all my childhood, but I was never one of those kids who like listened to music all the time. You know, there's some kids who just have, especially when the iPods came out and everything, you're just listening to music constantly. I was never one of those kids. Like I, aside from playing violin, didn't really do it. And then eventually when I got a phone in high school and kind of had more access to the internet and finding my own stuff and interests and all that, I started discovering EDM, dance music, and that's, yeah, maybe 2015, 2016, there's a lot of new dance music. And I was like, ooh, this is a new sound. What's that? And so and I've always just been interested in like very technical stuff too. And so I started researching it. It's like, how do you make that? Like these guys are just making this super cool music at home in their basements. Like, really? You can do that? And so it turns out pretty much as long as you have a laptop, headphones, you can kind of just create any sound you want. Really from your home studio. You don't need any fancy equipment.
Yeah, that is kind of the remarkable thing. How have you seen, how old are you?
23 now.
23, okay. So, I mean, a lot's happened in our generation's time period of the way production has evolved, right? Like, it seems like it's a very different process than it was when you were a kid, even when you were, you know, a teenager in high school. Everything is evolving so quickly. How have you sort of seen that unfold?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I feel like I got into it fairly late in the game. I mean, I've really only started getting into this music production world since maybe 2018, you know, started messing around with GarageBand and that sort of thing. But I know, I mean, it used to be that being a music producer, you had to have a big studio and you were sampling things and, you know, with tape and splicing tape together. And now it's really, especially with the internet, I mean, I personally kind of taught myself just through watching other videos and, you know, analyzing tracks and stuff. And I actually do that now. I'm trying to sort of give back with the knowledge I've learned. I've started a YouTube channel and stuff, and there's this really cool, not just with music, but kind of with anything now, it, just this really big spreading of information. It's like, you want to learn how to make music? Okay, just quick Google search away. You want to learn how to do photography? So I think it's easier now than ever. It's still, you know, you have to put a lot of work into really kind of master whatever it is you're learning. But yeah, it's a lot easier than it was 5-10 years ago.
Totally. And I want to talk more about accessibility, but can we take a listen to something first? Can we give our listeners a sense of what it is that you create?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do we hear?
I'll play you a track. Play one of the tracks. I had two tracks that were played during Ultra Music Festival this past year, just a couple months ago, in front of 50, 60, 70,000 people, which still blows my mind today. I'm like, really? Something I created in my bedroom studio is now being heard all over the world.
That's so surreal. So, you've got thousands of people in your bedroom.
Pretty much. That's what it feels like.
I'm joined today on Talkin' Music by Amel, playing some tracks for us. Before we went into that, we were talking a little bit about accessibility. And I have noticed that you make a lot of effort to kind of break down your process. Will you talk about why that's important? Why is it important to give people insight into what you're doing and how you're creating and the ways that you're creating?
Yeah, so this was sort of a sneaky master plan without me actually knowing it. I've always been very fascinated with kind of documenting my process. Once I don't know, when I was a teenager, I started getting video cameras and stuff, and it's like, ooh, I can, you know, just record whatever I'm doing, whether it be flying drones or making music or anything. So I've always enjoyed that process, documenting it, and it's just been fun. And so when I started producing music, I started doing that the way I would do it, and it just at the very start, it was just for fun. I would take a track, some artist that I really liked, some song that I really liked, and I would download it and sort of like reverse engineer it almost, where I would try to teach myself. It's like, ooh, how did they make that sound? And so I just start recreating these tracks, and just for fun, I would record that and upload it to YouTube. And then when I started getting a lot more serious about music, I kind of doubled down on that. And what started happening is I realized by doing this, by reverse engineering these tracks, I just got better and better so quickly. And so I was uploading it and at the same time providing that information to other people. But what I didn't realize is it's like, it just, you get so much better so quickly. And so within the course of the last year and a half, that's when I went from essentially a nobody to getting recognized by some of these bigger artists. And it's like, oh, I've actually learned quite a lot. So that was, without knowing what I was doing, kind of a little hack in self-learning, self-teaching.
Yeah, I love that. And as you mentioned, that is available in so much more abundance than it was 10 or 15 years ago, that you can, if there's a skill you want to learn, there are so many resources available for that. I'm curious, and you kind of just spoke to it, but if you'll talk a little bit more about, like, anyone can learn how to do something, but inherent skill or natural skill is still important, right? Like, having a talent for something does still matter. Will you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. Okay. So I'm actually really happy you asked this question. I've had a perfect example for years that I've wanted to get out there on some interview. So when I was younger and playing violin, we started in school in third grade. In the school I went to, you could either choose violin or cello, and most kids didn't really care. It was like, oh God, we got to play an instrument. Like, really? Okay. We go to violin class and whatever. So there were only a couple kids in my class that were really serious about it and really wanted to do it. I was one of them. And then my buddy Adrian, he was one of them. And for the first, I mean, we're both good, kind of at the top of our class of really wanting to play violin, but I just felt that I could pick up things quicker. So for probably 4 or 5 years, I just felt naturally I could pick things up easier than he could. And so that lasted for a long time. And then at a certain point, we were playing an orchestra together, and I stopped playing quite as much, and I saw he was just very consistent. I don't know if it was his parents or he just naturally did it, but every single day he would just practice no matter what. And I did that for a while, but just not as consistently. And so it was early high school, during the first couple of years, that slowly I began seeing him just passing me. I was like, what's happening? Like, how's this working?
Nothing like a little friendly competition.
No, it was great. It was great. And, but it just, one day it clicked in my head. It's like, you can have natural talent and you can work really hard. Ultimately, if you have both, I think that's when you're going to be the best. Mm. But from seeing that and from seeing other examples, I think that any day hard work and consistent work is going to outperform natural talent. Mm. And so I try to, even if I think I have natural talent or whatever, I just kind of try to put that aside and just do as consistent as I can, just work as hard as I can, try not to let the, you know, natural talent part get in the way.
Yeah, totally. How do you know when you're creating something, how do you know when it's completed? How do you know when it's something you feel like you're ready to share with the world?
Oh, I have no idea. I really don't. It's so tough, especially, I mean, when you're first getting started in something, you don't really, I mean, and I'll use music as the example because that's most relevant to me, but you just don't have the ear, specifically in music, to hear what's the final product, you know, the first year or two. And I was like, oh, I have all these really good ideas. And, you know, looking back 2 years later, you hear a track that you made, you're like, oh, yeah, I could have changed that and that wasn't good and that doesn't sound very good. So it's really tough. Now I feel very fortunate. I actually have a support system where I can send in feedback to, you know, very reliable sources, to many people that'll say, you know, it sounds really good, or I would change this, or you should mix this differently. So that's a huge help. And people do that. You know, I'll sometimes have people send in tracks and be able to give them feedback and stuff. But, you know, some it's just guesswork. Sometimes it's guesswork, and it's like, oh, I could tweak this and go back and tweak it, and now it sounds worse, now it sounds better.
Well, I think it's part of, I mean, in a way it's cool because you have like a sonic evolution of your talent. You know, you get to go back and sort of see all of these stages that you cross through, and they may not be fun to revisit, but I'm sure there are always lessons to be learned from them.
Yeah, and honestly, I still really enjoy that. I have some friends that are sort of like that. They want to cover up, ooh, I want to cover up my past work because it's horrible and all that. I personally love leaving up my old work, you know, even if it sounds terrible or whatever. It's just fun. To me, it's, you get to see how far you've come. And honestly, I think that's a big confidence booster to look back and be like, wow, okay, I didn't think I'd progressed at all this last year. And turns out I've progressed, you know, way more than I ever thought. So I think that's a huge help.
Yeah, totally. With that in mind, Amel, can we listen to something else?
Absolutely.
Baby.
You were born Carter Hansen, but you go by Amel. Will you talk to me about that persona and what it kind of allows you to do in terms of your creativity and, you know, who Amel is?
Yeah. So I feel like most artists have it's something to do with their name. They'll change their name around, or maybe keep their first name and change their last name. Usually has something to do with their name. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's totally random. My personal story is not that interesting in terms of my name, but it kind of happened right when I was getting into music. I was actually in Spain and going out to nightclubs for the first time. I just turned 18, and so me and my buddy were going out, and ooh, we can go to these nightclubs, and it's Europe, so they'll let you in when you're 18. And so it was, yeah, right around that time. And it's actually a slightly embarrassing story, but kind of had this little romantic fling, not even with this girl, and we didn't even know her name. We think her name was Mel. We're not totally sure. I was like, what was that girl's name? My friend's like, I think she said Mel. So we had this sort of little idea of what her name might be, and that was at the time when I was trying to think of artist names and, you know, this sort of other persona. And so I sort of combined that, took inspiration from that, and then my dad, what he had done with his company was called Ayre, A-Y-R-E, and I had talked with him about creating names, and he just liked names that sort of weren't super harsh. You know, he wanted a name that didn't have any big consonants in it, and so I was like, Amel, just add an A to the Mel, and it sort of flows nicely, sounds good, short, and yeah, just sort of stuck.
Thanks for sharing your embarrassing story with us. Do you ever hope that Mel will hear that story and track you down?
You know, it's funny when I, right after that, coming home from Spain, that's right when I first started getting into music, and I had this vision. I was like, I'm gonna become this famous musician. I'm gonna go up, and we think she lived in Canada. I was like, I'm gonna play a show in Canada and be like, hey, if anyone knows Mel in the audience, shout out, come find me.
That's amazing. Maybe you'll meet like a whole other Mel that you never knew you were meant to meet just because of this story.
This is the problem. I'm going to do that shout out. And then
you're going to have a million Mel.
Hundreds of people are going to come in. And, oh, yeah. No, I'm the Mel. Yeah, I remember being in Spain.
I mean, who doesn't want to be the origin story, right? Who doesn't want to be the original Mel?
Exactly. I know. People trying to cling on to the fame.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves now. I think an observation about the DJ world, and really the producer world, is that it is still predominantly male. And I'm curious if you've given any thought, you know, as a young man in the industry, about how you can play a role to help highlight voices that aren't typically heard from in these industries.
Yeah, it's actually a really interesting time period for kind of any industry, but especially music too. You know, just within my circles, I've obviously been around a lot of these questions in the music industry. The team, which I'm part of, Wall Recordings, we have, I want to say, 7 or 8 signed artists, me being one of them, and all guys except for one girl. So we have one woman, and she's a very talented producer. And so, you know, I think a couple weeks ago, someone asked a question to one of our artists, you know, being a minority, being a woman. I think people have this idea that if you're a minority, you sort of get pushed aside, maybe not as seen. Right now, and like I said, almost in any industry, but especially music, there's actually a big push to, if you're a minority, that helps you stand out a lot. So right now, all over the world, people booking shows are specifically looking for women, specifically looking for people of color, things like that. So I would just say, you know, if you feel like you're a minority, let that work in your favor. Also, you know, if you're a minority, if you're, you know, let's say a woman in this male dominated industry, people love that. You know, it helps you stand out. That right now the market's so saturated, it's like, okay, here's another DJ. Like, right. How is he special?
Right.
So if you have that little whatever that is, if you're a woman, if you're of color, if you have this or that, yeah, just work it.
Yeah, and what do you think your role in that all is?
In terms of helping, like, push that forward?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just here to support anyone. I love seeing people who really want to push themselves forward. And yeah, this woman that's in Wall Recordings that I'm in, she's one of the hardest working producers I've ever seen. She's in the studio all day, and so yeah, I love just anyone who wants to help themselves and wants to, climb up that ladder. I'm there to support them. And I love pushing talent. I love, helping people that want to get to their goals.
Yeah, nicely said. Thanks for sharing that. Amel, you're going to be performing here in the North Fork Valley at Big B's Delicious Orchards in Hotchkiss. What can you tell us about that show? What can we look forward to?
So I'm actually gonna be playing hardly any of my music, a couple songs. Mostly my music is a lot more energy for like big festivals and more crazy electronic stuff, and this is not quite the environment for that. But yeah, this is sort of my little secret passion, the more kind of chill stuff. I haven't done a ton of it yet, but at some point I'd maybe even come out with like an alter ego and make some of this more chill music. But yeah, I'm just gonna be playing all sorts of stuff, some throwback music and some just really festive stuff. It's Paonia, it's outside, it's a fun environment. So, I mean, that's the DJ's job, right? Is to feel the environment, feel what the crowd needs, and give them what they need.
That's awesome. Amel, thank you so much for joining me and for sharing a little insight into your process and your intention behind what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm super excited to come down and be playing. And again, thanks for having me on.